the top. Let's go.
1, 2, 3.
Tua takes that stage tonight and can say, I'm here now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Tua's down.
He got body slammed. He got thrown down. And they're coming out right now. Oh, boy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's a tough moment for everybody.
Earlier on the show, San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle. Still to come, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper. Actor and Steelers fan Joe Manganiello. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air here in Los Angeles, California. Just hung up with George Kittle, and we're on the verge of welcoming in hour number three into our studio, the actor Joe Manganiello on our program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. We had a full conversation about Thursday night football, from the actual results in Cincinnati, Ohio, to Tua Tagovailoa being home with his teammates now after flying home despite a frightening, scary, awful hit and reaction and hospitalization, but for a brief moment. You've been talking about it as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. What's more likely? Chris Brockman's going to give me that. Some scenarios over the weekend. I'll tell you what I think is more likely. We'll take a look at the rest of the Week 3 schedule as well here on the program. But we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line and talk to one of the best in the business, as he has been for years since coming off the campus of Alabama, now new to the Cleveland Browns, who are 2-1 heading into Atlanta. Miles Garrett just spoke to the media with a bloody left eye, but other than that, seeming no worse the wear, saying he hopes to be a game-time decision for that after a frightening accident of his own over the past week. But joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns, Amari Cooper. How you doing, Amari?
I'm doing well. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. I'm just going to jump right in. How are things for you to be in Cleveland? What was that adjustment process for you, Amari Cooper?
I think I'm a very adaptable person. So, it was a pretty smooth transition. I obviously had to move, across the country. But, other than that, just being able to stay focused on football and stuff like that, it was pretty smooth. It wasn't anything to where I was struggling to adapt to the situation.
So. Okay. Were you surprised that you were traded, Amari Cooper?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, because there were, rumors lingering, in this social media era. I was able to see those rumors, so it kind of got my antennas up. So by the time it had happened, I wasn't surprised, nah.
Okay, so then let me dive a little bit deeper. Why do you think you were traded, Amari?
I don't know, man. I don't know the mindset of Jerry Jones, so I can't exactly tell you why.
Okay. Do you have any theories? Any?
there's a lot of theories out there, but I'm going to just go over what he said. I think I saw him say something a couple of days ago, actually, on Twitter. It was just the amount of money they were paying me or something like that. I guess it was too much, and I guess he felt like they could do other things with the money. So.
Okay. Are you aware, Amari Cooper, of how much you are missed by the Dallas Cowboys fan base? Are you aware of that? Has that awareness reached you in Cleveland, Ohio?
Nah, it hasn't really reached me.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. There's been quite a bit of a conversation. I've got a Dallas Cowboy fan right here. Do you want to tell him how much you miss him, TJ Jefferson? Do you want to tell him?
I mean, on behalf of Cowboy Nation, I'm just going to say, Coop. Miss you, dog. We miss you, man.
Man, it feels good to be missed, I guess.
Well, I'm sure it also feels good to be where you are. And so walk me through Jacoby Brissett and your ability to connect in a way with him so quickly, Amari.
Yeah, I would say the biggest reason we've been able to have the connection that we've built so far is just communication. Like, I mean, throughout the week, he's always asking me. He's always, like, texting me, sending me videos of film that he's watching, showing me, like, similar routes that we have in, how guys that I might be facing that week have been getting beat on that route, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's constant communication throughout the week. So that's been the biggest thing for sure.
So he's watching film for himself, obviously, to prepare himself for the game, mm-hmm. like, say, against Atlanta. And he's noticing something on film. What is he just shooting it with his phone and then sending it to you, or it's an actual clip, or is that what's happening? He's doing with you?
Yeah, yeah. He'll like record a video on his phone and send it to me, and then he'll be like, "What you think on this? When you have this route?" And then I'll communicate that to him, and he'll be like, "Yeah, I see it the same way," or he'll be like, "Nah, I don't think that will work as well as the way I'm seeing it because of X, Y, and Z." So. Great communication.
And how helpful is that for you?
The reason why it's very helpful is because Coach Stefanski does a really great job of, like, you know, the stuff we practice during the week, mm-hmm. Most of it carries on to the game, and we end up running, like, I would say 90-something percent of the plays that we're practicing. And so, you know, with other offensive coordinators, you know, we get to the game and it's like a whole new game plan. But I say that to say the reason that it's helpful is because he'll send me those recordings and we'll talk about how he wants me to run a certain route that we've been practicing. And then, like clockwork, the play is called in the game. We'll remember that conversation and it's been working.
So are you saying in, say, a previous stop, there wasn't a consistency between plays practiced and plays called during the game, Amari Cooper?
Wait, say it again?
Are you saying then let's just say a previous stop of yours in the NFL,
like, okay,
there wasn't a similar consistency between plays practiced and then plays called in a game? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying like here.
Yes.
Let's say throughout the course of the week, we have, because, I mean, usually a game is like 80 plays or something like that. Let's say we have 90 plays in the game plan. We're going to run those 80 that we practice, we're going to run like, I mean, those 90 plays that we practice, we're going to run like 80 of them, those 80 in the game. But like at other places that I've been, of course you're going to run what you practice in the game, because, yes. I mean, that's why you're practicing. But it's not like as big a percentage, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I'm just trying to get Dallas Cowboy fans' hair more on fire when you talk about them.
Coop, it's okay. You can say the Raiders. you can say the Raiders. It's fine. It's fine.
That's funny.
But I just love watching the offense at work, Amari. Certainly the way that Chubb is running the ball, and clearly you were teammates with an A-lister in Zeke. Any similarities between Zeke and Nick Chubb that you see, Amari?
Yeah, a lot of similarities. I mean, they both run really hard. They both run real hard. They both are really strong players. They both have good speed. Definitely a lot of similarities.
And then what does he bring to the offense? Obviously there's Kareem Hunt as well, but it just seems to me the way that he runs the ball and the way it opens other things up and then also gives you that physical mindset, it looks contagious to me. I wonder what it looks like from your perspective. You're actually in the offense, Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, as a receiver, Kareem and Nick, those are my favorite teammates, but two, the best teammates that I can personally have. It makes my job 100 times easier because I know the defense, you'll be a fool as a defensive coordinator to not go into the game and say, we have to stop this guy. We have to stop these two guys. You know what I mean? That's like the primary focus. And so I just get to sneak through the back door. So I'm loving it.
Well, I mean, not to create any dissension, Amari, but let's just say early December, there's an SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama. You're going to still call Nick Chubb your favorite teammate? You're going to do that then? You're going to do that?
I mean, he know what time it is, man. I don't think he ever beat Bama.
But, I mean, you know, Georgia is the national champ right now, though, right? Am I wrong?
But I don't think he ever beat them.
Oh, I see. How many times did you beat Georgia?
I only played them once.
What's up with that? I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm a Michigan guy. Michigan plays Ohio State every year, and Georgia and Alabama should be playing every year. You know?
I mean, yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Some teams you just don't play every year. Thanks.
Well, oh, by the way, it just hit me. You're the perfect person to ask this question because I ask this of everybody in who comes on the show from Alabama. What is the most you ever pissed off Nick Saban? Amari Cooper.
The most I ever pissed off Nick Saban?
Yeah, what happened?
Let me think.
You got one?
Let me think. I can only really remember two times that Nick Saban, like, somewhat got mad at me. One was when I was a freshman and, you know, we were done with a period. And the thing is, you can never, like, really walk on the field. And I was kind of walking to the sideline after the period was over with. And he just, like, ran behind me and was like, get off the field. Like, he screamed at me. And then there was another time, I think I was a sophomore maybe. But I don't really remember. I just remember that time getting, like, yelled at. But other than that, I wasn't one of those players that really pissed them off.
Okay, because you were too damn good, right? Is that what it was? Is that what it was? You could be honest. You're too
good. I mean, you know, honestly, mm-hmm. The better players don't really get the get them pissed off as much as the as you know, the guys who aren't starting at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. I get it now. I understand. Amari Cooper here on the Rich Eisen Show. I do want to, in all seriousness, ask you what you thought of when you saw a fellow Crimson Tide player, Tua Tagovailoa, on the turf last night on Thursday Night Football. I asked this of George Kittle earlier. You know, you are a guy who puts it on the line every single snap as well there, but for the grace of football, gods can go any of you and your colleagues. What do you think when you saw that last night? What went through your head, Amari?
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, it was very frightening and saddening at the same time because, I mean, I've been through that situation twice, but, I mean, his was very scary. Like when I was in that situation, and mine wasn't nearly as scary as his, even though we were both unconscious, I know how afraid my family was and my friends were and how they were all, like, texting me and stuff like that. But, man, that was scary. I was real scared for him. And I hope and I pray that he's good. Like, he has all his faculties in place and everything like that. Because I don't even know how to explain it. I was, like, real sad about that.
Of course. I mean, the whole country, our hearts were in our throats. But, again, we're not the ones who are putting a helmet on every single week. Do you feel like when you have gone through the concussion protocol that you, if you have one, it is caught? And what are the pressures a player might feel about getting back on the field, Amari? You have any thoughts you can share on that?
Yeah. I mean, usually you always want to play. I mean, that's just the nature of us NFL players. We're competitive. We always want to play. I think typically the protocol is, like, if they see you get knocked out, whether it's 1 second or 10 seconds or something, they don't allow you to come back. But, like, if you get hit or something and you're not, like, unconscious and you might be a little woozy, I think there's some leeway there. Like, you'll go meet with the training staff. They'll talk to you. They'll see if you're, like, you know, slurring your word or if you remember where you are. You know what quarter you're in, you know what day of the week it's in. If you don't get knocked out and you can answer all those questions, you know, typically they'll allow you to come back. But I think if once you get knocked out, no matter how short a time, then you can't come back. Because that's what happened to me in the past. Like, I was put to sleep and everything like that. I wasn't allowed to come back. But I really wanted to play, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, like, kind of the protocol.
Amari Cooper, I really appreciate the time going down to Atlanta. And, you know, that's SEC country. I'm sure you'll be comfortable there. And it's a big opportunity, right? 3-1, certainly with Brissett currently there and Watson coming back, we assume, after 11 weeks. This is a pretty big game for you. Would you agree on that front, Amari?
Of course.
Okay. Do you have any message
every
for
week
you have any message for? Do you have last one? Do you have any message for Cowboys fans as you go out the door? Any message for them?
Nah, I don't got a message for Cowboys fans.
Rich, can I tell Amari what he did against Georgia?
Sure.
I just looked this up.
Okay.
2012 SEC championship game. 8 catches, 128 yards, game winning 45 yard touchdown pass from AJ McCarron.
You're just being humble.
So he had a light day at the office that day. You know, it was nothing. It was nothing.
Yeah, I remember that vividly, actually. It was my freshman year. It was one of my bigger games, actually, like coming onto the scene as a college football player. Even though it was towards the end of the year, I made like some really big plays in that game to where I knew that I could really be able to play at the next level, you know?
Amari, thanks for the time. Let's do this more on the regular if you're up for it. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Really.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Yeah, I'll be down to do it for sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Terrific. Amari Cooper.
Amari Fridays.
At Amari Cooper 9 on Twitter and Instagram from New York, Cleveland Browns, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Take care. That's Amari Cooper, everybody. I think we have a new laugh to be putting in our... In our drops, right?
Absolutely.
We got the Garland laugh. We got the Larry David laugh, right?
He was in a great mood. He was laughing a bunch. I like that dude, man.
He doesn't have any message for Cowboy fans.
Man.
He really wanted to talk smack on the Raiders, too. Right?
Well, I wanted to push him that way.
It sounded like it.
Man. I mean, I remember, guys. Do you remember, like, four years ago?
The Cleveland Browns are like, we'll take you.
When the Cowboys.
Damn straight you
remember,
will.
We were in the studio when the news came out that Cowboys got
it
him.
It was at, like, 12:05,
yeah,
right after
the show. Right after
ended.
The show.
Look it up, too. Would you please look it up? I don't think he's even remotely close to 30, is he? Or he's 29?
He's really young.
He was born in 94,
yeah,
so
he's 28 now.
He's 28?
Yeah, he's really young.
And they gave up on him.
Who gave up on him?
My front office. Man.
20 million.
Well, the Raiders gave up on him but got a first round pick.
Well, that's true. The Raiders did. But I don't care about what they did. I'm talking about us. Like, we had him in
house. Do you remember when people were all over the Cowboys for giving up a first round pick for him?
Well, we joked. We're like, Amari Cooper just got traded for a first round pick. We're like, Cowboys.
If I'm not mistaken, that was around the time where Jerry Jones said that they were like the Rams offense, right? Like the McVay Rams offense. And everyone's like, okay, Jerry.
Okay, sure, whatever, bro.
And then Amari kind of opened things up in a way that you didn't think.
He burst on the scene and was just
lights
out.
And got paid, pizzed, and then now he's a Brown.
I tried to
he's
make
running
myself,
on top of an elf.
I tried to make myself believe I didn't care that he was gone, but I can't even front. I care.
Sorry to put it right there in front of you.
Man.
All right, when we come back, a whole bunch of Week 3 games that Week 4 games. Trust me, I'm not going to review Week 3 games. Week 4 games that I'm really into that are kind of a little bit below the radar. Not all of them. But when we come back, we'll take your phone calls as well. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the show.
That's funny.
There it is. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod.
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to 3 apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you are opening up more than just doors. You're opening up potential, folks, and you're unlocking it. The potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van that I'm talking about by Mercedes-Benz is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit that open road and take on any goal you set and help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit, adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. When you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path that they're going to take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the NFL, just went on NFL Network and told Judy Batista that, let me get this correct here, that throughout the week, an independent evaluation, and an independent neurological evaluator took a look at Tua Tagovailoa and found no signs of concussions. And that once they do this, once they do have this study done, it will be made public because they want to be completely, fully released. Checked for concussion symptoms every day since Sunday, and a neuro expert who is independent had to clear him. Again, my question is, if there is an evaluation going on as to what happened, why was he allowed to play while this investigation's going on? What if the investigation came out, well, yeah, this thing's got slipped up, that thing, and you allowed him to play? If there's an investigation going on about something, then he's not allowed to play. Like, that's what I'm like. Protocol plus. Protocol plus. You know,
you mean on Sunday? Don't let him back in the game last week.
No, that if he's let in the game last week and people are questioning how the hell did he get back in the game last week, and we're like, we're going to do an independent study, Players Association in the league. Then until, if that's announced, if something happened that sparks an independent investigation, that is now you're in the protocol. It's as if you were concussed until we find out that you were not. That's what I'm saying, is if something required an investigation, how is the guy allowed to play until the investigation is complete? Then you go out on the field and you see him with his hands like that? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Let's go to Terzo and Ira. He's been hanging on for quite some time. What's up, Terzo?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right.
A little out of breath here. Was just holding a 25-pound bull by the head chute and watching my dad doctor him, so I'm a little out of breath.
Okay.
Whoa, wait, what?
That's a first for us, Terzo. Is that a first for you?
A bull getting neutered?
Oh, man, I grew up on a ranch. I'm just back home, and we had to doctor this bull, so I had to hold him in the head chute while my dad gave him some antibiotics to help with his hoof.
Is this like a Jackie Sherrill moment that we just jumped in on here on the Rich Eisen Show? What's going on, Terzo? What's on your mind?
Well, so last night with Tua, you know, when his hands went all exorcism-like, you know, it's just a scary moment. And your heart goes out to him, because I think if he kept playing in the game, I think they keep it pretty close, and I think they almost have a chance to win it. And so I just feel bad for him. Also, I just hope with Monday Night Football for our boy Kittle, he gets more than 5 targets, because we need him to get more than that to win that football game on Monday.
I appreciate that, Terzo. Catch your breath. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding on and while conducting your ranch work still. There's Terzo calling in from the Yellowstone Ranch right there. He's like, Rip.
Don't go to the train station.
Good one.
That's funny.
That's the new. There's your new drop. There's your new Amari Cooper drop. Did Kittle kind of hesitate when I asked him about how Jimmy G's handling everything?
I mean, I don't think there was a kind of about it.
He goes, And then you put that together with Steve Young yesterday, him talking about, you know, there's a lot of broken glass on the floor between the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. But Jimmy stayed, right? Jimmy stayed. Jimmy got surgery. Jimmy got surgery.
Didn't have
so Jimmy couldn't
options.
Get traded.
Right.
Then Jimmy eventually wound up staying. And he knew if he took a pay cut and wound up starting that he'd be giving a cut right to the team.
But he also
but
knew
he's also he's
if
also
he had
human.
A good season, you know, he'd hit free agency next year. And
is Jimmy getting upset?
I think Jimmy's been upset.
Okay, I need NFL Films music, sir. Yes, sir. I need NFL Films music just to get me in the mood. Because I'm going to set the stage. Week 4 has begun in the National Football League. And there are some great games coming up. There are not one, not two, not three, but 4 windows of football on Sunday. The 4 windows of football.
I love it.
Was that an old NFL Films film?
4 windows of football.
4 windows of football. First the London game, then there were early games, late games, and the Sunday night football game. 4 windows of football. You writing that down? There you go. The vaunted 4 windows of football. All right. Anyway. Sure, the London game is going to be of interest. Sir Andy Dalton, no relation to Timothy Dalton. Is that the last UK Dalton of so. Note was Timothy Dalton? His little cup of coffee being James Bond? Well, 0014 is coming now, right?
Hey.
Is that what he's wearing in New Orleans, Andy Dalton? So it looks like Andy Dalton is going to be going without can't guard Mike against the Vikings, who are going to have Dalvin Cook with full practices under his belt, despite maybe needing a harness on his shoulder. But to me, the marquee matchup of the early window games on Sunday, Bills-Ravens, man. I mean, this is it. Josh Allen v. Lamar Jackson, same draft class, easily. The two most successful guys from that draft class back in 2018. Here we go. Josh Allen, fully paid, fully long-term committed, and the other guy going year to year. And how's that going to affect play this year? Well, all he is the most prolific touchdown thrower through the first 3 weeks of this season. Not Josh Allen. It's that guy, Lamar Jackson, with his 10 touchdown passes. Gabe Davis suddenly might not be able to go in this one. We know that back end of the Bills defense is banged up and green, but the Dolphins didn't take advantage of it. Will the Ravens in their sneaky, outstanding passing attack? Okay, like, let's go. How will the Bills respond from their first loss of the season? Ken Dorsey getting all of his belongings neatly arrayed in front of the camera. Let's go. Bank is open. The winner of this game is 3-1 and presumably in excellent shape at the quarter post point. The other one is 2-2. So the Bills can go back atop the AFC East, although they'll be behind Miami if they're tied in record-wise because of the win in week number 3. But the Bills would have the same record as the Dolphins, and the Ravens would be assured of having a piece of first with that game. Can't wait for that. Winner of that game is 3-1. You know the winner of another game where the winner's 3-1? Giants-Bears.
Hey! One of these.
That's not like the other. That's the truth. By the end of Sunday, barring a tie, either Daniel Jones or Justin Fields is going to be a 3-1 quarterback in the National Football League. Facts.
Wow.
Daboll and his offensive genius going against Eberflus.
Love the Eberflus.
And his defensive stout Chicago Bears. Khalil Herbert getting some run now. In that offense, can Justin Fields take care of business against the Giants in week number 4? Winner of that game, yes, is 3-1 in New Jersey. How about down the road, down the turnpike? How about the homecoming of Doug Peterson?
Peterson?
Mr. Philly Special is coming to Philadelphia, and yes. The Eagles team that he finds is now the lone remaining undefeated team in the National Football League, quarterbacked by a current and early season MVP candidate in Jalen Hurts. But the offensive player of the week coming to the game belongs to the AFC team in this one. Yeah, Peterson's bringing his young buck quarterback. in Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars win, they are going to still be in first place at the quarter post point. Can Doug Peterson come back in his homecoming and spoil the party? The homecoming is Doug Peterson's, and as we all know, Jacksonville used to be everyone's homecoming. Not this time. Unless the Eagles just make mincemeat out of this team like they've been doing to everyone else that they've been facing.
Right.
Except for the Lions. How about Jacksonville at Philly being a nice little week four game that nobody saw coming? Meanwhile, in Carolina, there have been only two instances in the history of the National Football League where the two opposing quarterbacks in a game won a Heisman Trophy at the same school. The only other times that we've seen it prior to this week's matchup between Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield was the matchup between the two last year and a matchup between the two in 2019. For the third time, we're going to see Kyler versus Baker. A little Boomer Sooner situation. In Carolina, Kyler's 2-0 against Baker. Loser of this game is 1-3.
Ouch.
There's a lot at stake in this contest. You're either 2-2 or 1-3. Huge difference. One of these Sooners is going to make the other Heisman Trophy winning Sooners the other 1-3. Look forward to that one. All right, folks. This one's for me. I'm addressing you, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raiders.
Three letters for you. W, T, and an F. Put everything from this table right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I put it on the line.
Let's go.
I looked at you when everybody's talking about Russ cooking in Denver. Now that he's left Seattle, he's going to cook in Denver. Missing ingredient. Here comes Russ cooking. I looked at the Chargers and getting Khalil Mack and getting J.C. Jackson and Justin Herbert another year. Looked at them. Looked at the Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill, but they still had Mahomes and everybody else. I looked at all those people and I said, no! I look at you, Las Vegas, and I crown you the winner of the AFC West. And how have I had that faith returned? In kind? No, very unkind. Not in kind, very unkind. Not a win? Zero wins?
Not a win.
Zero wins.
Not a win. We're talking about wins.
We're talking about wins.
Zero wins.
Zero.
And who's coming into your house? Russ, and he's cooking. You got 11 points. Let's ride. How about let's ride this? Let's go. Let's go. And if you're up 20 to nothing, let's finish it. Because if you lose, you're 0-4.
Oh.
0-4. And Russ and everything that's going on with Nathaniel Hackett and the, you know, game management coach and the weirdness of the play calling and Javonte Williams just like getting almost as many snaps as Mike Boone. That team could be 3-1. Huge game in Vegas. And then you got Tennessee and Indianapolis. Oh, yeah. Last time this matchup took place, remember Derrick Henry, despite winning in overtime because Carson Wentz made a stupid-ass throw. It's the only way to describe it. Derrick Henry broke his foot, remember?
I do.
These two teams, weird stuff happens. And boy, do the Tennessee Titans need a win. If they win, they'll be at 2-2. And the Colts will be 1-2-1. And Jacksonville could lose in Philadelphia. Hey, Tennessee, just like Cincinnati might be, you already started 0-2, but look at us now. Or the Colts might, where are they getting? Are they getting Shaq back? Let's take a look. Maybe Shaquille Leonard makes his start. They get healthier. Jonathan Taylor missed his first practice of his life, apparently, this week with a toe. Let's go. Follow up that Chiefs win. Why don't you show everybody that you don't need some weird, still to this point, unexplained personal foul penalty because Chris Jones said the wrong word. You don't get that help. Okay, Tennessee Titans have taken their heart pills. They've buckled up. They're coming to town. This is a big AFC South matchup between the two teams that we entered the season assumed would battle it out for that division. Jacksonville's joined the fray. So that's a huge one in Indianapolis between Tennessee and the Colts. And those are the games that I'm looking forward to seeing in week number four.
One more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, George, give me one more.
Yeah, sure.
All right, here you go. I got one more. Nobody's talking about this game. Pretty much. How about Seattle and Detroit? How about if we had to have a power rankings of teams that the weirdest stuff happens to?
Oh gosh,
I think the Chargers they've won a lifetime achievement award on that. They're always number one.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that,
Seattle.
Who plays weirder games in Seattle? Now, if this was in Seattle, you all know that was when Calvin Johnson fumbled it in the end zone and KJ Wright batted it out of the end zone and the refs are like, good play, KJ. That's legal.
It's not legal.
Nope. That was in Seattle. This is in Detroit where, as you know, Lions, even if they fall down by 14, they're going to keep trying to take hunks out of your leg, right?
I think so.
And then last week looked like Dan Campbell had his first road win as a coach and as an HC all locked up and then decides to go for a field goal rather than going for it on fourth down or punting. Look, these two teams just, I think this is poised to just be nuts. Please tell me Gus Johnson's calling it. I don't know if this will be one of those Johnson games because has got a Gus Johnson type nuttiness result written all over it. I can't wait for it. It seems like Amon-Ra St. Brown is out and the same thing with DeAndre Swift, which is unfortunate. But keep an eye on Kenny Walker coming back to the state where he just had a nice run at Michigan State.
Rich,
you
know who's on the call? Our buddy Chris Meyer.
He's there. We're here.
We're here watching.
We're here. You got a nice little show, Rich. Thanks for talking about my game. So here we go. Seattle and Detroit.
Also,
I don't know why I buckled in on that.
I'm looking at their depth chart. TJ, you talked about having the little red letter next to your fantasy player's name. Everyone on the Lions offense has a red letter. DeAndre Swift, doubtful. Amon St. Brown, out. DJ Chark, questionable. Josh Reynolds, questionable. Hockenson, questionable. Their fullback, Jason Kabinda, out. Their left guard and starting center, questionable. Who knows what's happening in this game?
Hey, and Geno's going to cook? Here we go. I don't know why Seattle and Detroit just fascinates me, but they do.
This is a game that'll be sneakily featured on Red Zone. Like, just when you don't expect it, you're like, hey, Seahawks are in the Red Zone again.
So, that's my preview for week four right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app or on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. We come back, more of your phone calls, and there was another fascinating night in Major League Baseball to get to before hour number three when we throw open the studio doors for Joe Manganiello and What's More Likely.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say Hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay, anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the heck?
On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Patrick in Modesto, California has been on hold for a while. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
What's going on?
Hey, so since we're going to be watching history being made tonight, I have a couple questions for you.
What history is being made tonight?
You know, my boy Aaron Judge is going to break that record.
Fantastic. I'd love to see it. That'd be great.
You're not going to love what I have to say next, though.
All right, I'll bite.
All right. Well, all right, so I'm a Fresno State alma mater, so I'm a big Judge fan regardless.
Good.
But I'm also a big Giants fan.
Okay.
So we don't want to see him go to the Mets because, you know, they suck.
Chill, B. Chill.
But
great phone call.
If he went to the Giants,
yeah,
would you be mad?
Well, first of all, you're right. I don't like what you had to say next. You're correct. You're very accurate.
I have one more for you, though.
I don't like it at all.
Answer this, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I like this guy, Patrick.
So if he didn't go to the Giants, I have another team that I would really want to see on because
the Yankees. The
problem
Mets.
With the Yankees
right.
is that he doesn't have someone that can bat behind him, so he's going to get
walked. About?
You know, what if he went to the Mariners and batted behind Julio?
Sure, that sounds great, Patrick. Wonderful, great idea. Great idea.
What if he stayed in his
own
apartment?
Are you walking around? You sound out of breath. What are you doing? Are you on a treadmill? Where are you? Where are you?
I'm at home. I've been kind of nervous because my dog's been a little sick with lymphoma. So
I'm sorry to hear that. My best to your dog. And again, maybe you're just so out of breath with all these great takes you're having. Out of breath.
I mean, it would be cool because he's from Fresno State, and if he stayed at the Yankees,
real cool.
That's one of the most historic teams ever. But I'm saying, like, if he didn't stay on the Yankees, we don't want him to go to the Mets.
That's true.
If he went to the Giants, would you be mad?
Yes. Yes,
imagine how killer he would be on the Mariners.
Hey, thank you so much.
Imagine if he just stays best in his own apartment and has Pete Alonso batting behind him from now on.
By the way,
great.
I must push back. Chris. I'll push back at the notion there's no one to protect Judge, okay? There's a guy who hit 59 in a season who's there.
He's a big man.
Okay? Just as a for instance. Huh?
I think he just struck out again.
Or he can hit a grand slam. He can hit a grand slam to make the night that Judge hit 60 a winning night.
2023 team odds for Aaron Judge, Rich. Yankees, your favorite, plus 175.
Not going anywhere.
Giants, plus 300. Mets, plus 55.
I told y'all, this weekend, when there are fannies in every seat in Yankee Stadium, despite the fact that the Yankees have clinched all that they can essentially clinch, Hal Steinbrenner should look around and not think all those fannies in the seats can help defray his cost of getting a piece of AC Milan. He should say, let's take all these receipts and bundle them up and give it all to Aaron Judge when he asks for it. You're not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. And I do want to say this because I feel guilty when I keep saying this guy's the MVP and not Shohei Ohtani. Okay, I feel guilty because Shohei Ohtani is so amazing, and let's enjoy what we're seeing right now in baseball, especially since the conversation we saw or we had with Judge based on some of the comments from Roger Maris Jr. that echoes the sentiments of many people about the steroid era and what this means for Judge's record and all of that stuff. Let's live in the moment as baseball fans, because over the last two nights, Wednesday night and Thursday night, we saw on Wednesday night somebody hit a 61st home run in a playing season. okay? And we saw that guy do it, and he is clean, as we all can attest, based on whatever baseball is trying to catch, and he's giving the ball to his mom. And then on the next night, we see a guy on a 14-game hitting streak with 34 home runs throw 7 2/3 no-hit innings of baseball. Okay? Back-to-back nights. We have seen that. And he, by all intents, is clean too. It's amazing. Back-to-back nights. 61st home run. Dude on a 14-game hit streak throws 7 2/3, strikes out 10, no-hit ball.
Amazing.
And I totally get Angels fans chanting MVP to him. Good. He is definitely your most valuable player. And you got Trout there, too. So, it's pretty neat to see. Baseball deserves that sort of stuff. And it was awesome to watch. As soon as the Thursday night game was over, I flipped right to we all playing in our poker night. We watched it, and he gave up the hit a couple minutes later. By the way, when Gerrit Cole had perfect through five,
yeah.
Coop turned the game on.
Oh no! Did you let him know he jinxed it?
Well, he turned it on because the Major League, the MLB app.
Oh, sent an alert?
No. It says on the screen, perfect game next to it.
What?
It was Yankees 3, Blue Jays nothing, and there's this red rectangle next to it says perfect game.
What?
Yeah. Top six, it says perfect game, and Koops goes, I think Cole's got a perfect game. I'm like, okay, great.
Who's running the app?
We turned it on.
Get that out of there. That's a jinx.
We turned it on, and the perfect game ends on the spot. And Cooper says it was his fault and leaves the room.
That's my man.
Says it's his fault, leaves the room, okay? And then the next guy gets on base, and now the Yankees potentially can lose the lead, right? And eventually, two runs do come in, and they lose the lead. Coop comes back in the room, sees they lost the lead. Blame that on me.
Amazing.
And I'm like, am I raising... A
psycho superstitious baseball
yes.
guy.
Yes. Is that what I'm doing?
Absolutely, you are.
That's funny.
Amari Cooper finds it funny. Another Cooper. And I told him, I'm like, buddy, like this would have happened had we not turned the game on. And he looks at me and he says, how do you know? How do I respond to that?
Just because
I'm like, come on, man. And then Judge hit the home run next inning and we talked about something completely different the rest of the night. Whole family watched. Zan watched through the window. He was doing a workout in the backyard. Suze, Taylor, we were all around watching that. So special. And then last night, I mean, can't say it enough. Unicorns, one in New York, one in Southern California. Or soon, two to be in New York. Yeah. I saw that report that Ohtani would be open to the idea if the Yankees, quote unquote, try again. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
A lot different than playing in Disneyland, buddy.
I would agree. Mr. Steinbrenner's Wild Ride.
Yeah. I mean,
he's tall enough to ride that ride?
A little different.
Joe Manganiello coming up in hour three. Don't go anywhere.
I also think this Ohtani season is literally just like...
Better than last?
Let's create another award. Like, just create most outstanding player, Major League Baseball. Just do it.
The NFL has MVP and... Most
offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year and defensive player of the year.
Like, let's just do it.
Why can't we do that?
Like, what are we waiting for?
Why can't we do it? Name it after name. I mean, it's Clemente's anniversary of his 3,000th hit. He would be a great most. You know,
just name it after
Roberto
Hank Aaron.
Clemente Award goes to the most outstanding offensive player. Like, yeah. Hank Aaron's already got an award, doesn't he?
Does he? Is that the silver slugger? I don't know. Is named
well,
after
there's
Aaron?
The internet right in front of you.
It's in front of you, too. Yeah, I don't know why I'm you always
hosting.
Say that.
I'm hosting. I could keep talking while you
But
do
I
it.
Was the first one who brought up this conversation.
Fine. I'll look it up.
Jeez. All I'm saying
this
is like...
The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you.
Just create an
the
award.
The Hank Aaron Award is given annually to the MLB players selected as the top hitter in each league. It's voted on by baseball fans and member of the media.
There you go. It's kind of.
Yeah, but you can't name Otani's top hitter in the league when he's also a great pitcher.
Otani's 15-8, man. This doesn't make sense.
I know, isn't it crazy?
No, until the eighth? Like, come on.
And guess what? There are 30 games under 500.
That's nothing to do with it.
Right? 30 games
don't
back.
Don't like. I've already said we're not going there. Let's not go there. Let's just not go there.
No, I said this has nothing to do with him.
Guys, let's not go there. Let's not go there. TJ didn't spend all that time Googling to go negative.
Great job, TJ.
It didn't take long. It really didn't.
Great job.
TJ's new fantasy segment, What's More Likely? And Joe Manganiello, great third hour coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.